Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The things that he gives us, sometimes because they're available to us all the time, we can take them for granted. So I would like to look at one of them tonight that is a great benefit that is given to us. And that topic, that subject is grace. Looked at the definitions of it. One of them is unmerited favor, giving us something that we did not deserve. You know, really, breath, life is not something that we can say we deserve it. He gave it to us. But I was thinking of some other definitions. Divine influence. Him able to influence our lives. Divine power. Divine power that comes from the one who, in Genesis 1, all he had to do was speak. Let there be. And it came into existence. Last night we were sitting outside and look up at the stars and think, you know what? When he spoke that into existence, even 2 Peter 3, scoffers said, all things have continued just like they were from the beginning. And surely it has been so. The North Star, you can still find it and chart your way. All things have continued, a great benefit from God. And that one that spoke those things into existence is saying, I want to give you some divine influence in your life, divine power in your life to be able to help you live for me. I was looking at some songs in our songbook. Because in this, some of the songwriters got a view of the value of the grace of God. I'd like to look at song number 45. The first verse says, the grace of God that brings salvation and teaches righteousness appeareth unto every nation their darkened soul to bless. Wondrous grace, a gift, pure gift from heaven. Grace to set the captives free. Grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Says his wondrous grace is all sufficient, and ours of deepest need are sanctified by God omniscient if we his promise plead. Within the heart his grace abounding, it'll give us power to reign. You know the value of that in 2021? His grace can give us power to reign over sin. Through Jesus, when the foe surrounding, the victory we shall gain. Our Father grace and glory giveth in blessings manifold. From him who pure before him liveth, no good will he withhold. That is what is available to us, wondrous grace, a gift from heaven. And I was looking at that first verse, says the grace of God to bring us salvation. And the verse that comes from is Titus 2 and 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It's available to everyone today. And here's what it's teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It hath appeared to all men. We sing another song, all his grace is as free as the air we breathe. It's available to all of us. We may each have a full supply. But here's our part. You know, God will do his part. And if we were to lay them out together, we would find that our part is very small. His part of supplying us with grace, it's as free as the air we breathe. But here's our part. If we will obey and his word believe, he will prepare us to dwell on high. So I'd like to look at a verse over in Revelations. This is God's desire. Revelations 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I'll sup with him and he with me. You know, this was written a long time ago, and yet it's still available today. He stands at our door and knocks. And we can look at that and say, you know what, when that was was whenever I needed to be saved, he was standing at my door knocking. But you know, today he desires to give us grace, his divine influence in our life. He just needs us to slow down, take some time and open up the door to where he can come in and sup with me and me with him. So my part, God has grace sufficient for everything that I can face. But there are some things that I can stop the flow of it. I'd like to look over to verse in Galatians 2 and 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now that's amazing. The grace of God is available for me, but I can do something to frustrate it. I can cause it to not be effective in my life. And it's still available to everyone else, and I can cause it to not be. We sing a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yes. There's another verse. Hebrews 12 and 15, grace is available, but I can cause it to not be effective in my life. I don't want that to happen. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and in the 15th verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's like it's available, but I can shut the tap off that would flow into me. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. His grace is available for me for any problem that I face. But here's a problem that we could have. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So here, grace is available to help me out. God's divine influence, his divine power for my life. And I can cause it to be a fail of the grace of God that's available to me. There is a song, number 135. We sing it. This song was a testimony. You know, really all these songs are that. They're a testimony that someone had of an experience in their life. Look at this testimony. By the living grace of God, number 130, song 30, 135. By the living grace of God, I will labor, watch, and pray. Till this mortal life shall end in supernal day. So by the living grace of God, I'm going to make it all the way through to the end. By the living grace of God, I'll defy the tempting throng. High above the battle's din, I'm going to shout the victor's song. By the living grace of God, I will never doubt my Lord. Till my eyes are closed in death, I'm going to believe his word. So you see, God's got grace available for us, but I've got to have a determination like this songwriter had. By the living grace of God, I will conquer though I die. Well, now that's some determination right there. The reward will come at last in my home on high. Work on, toil on, till my work on earth is done. By the living grace of God, I will labor on. That's quite a testimony. I'd like to be able to have that testimony myself. I'm determined by the grace of God, I'm going to make heaven my home. But you know what? I've got a part to play today and tomorrow to keep this channel open that his grace can flow into my life, his divine power. And if you look at this songwriter, it was D.O. Teasley. D.O. Teasley had a determination one day, I'm going to make heaven my home. And I realized that it'll be only by the grace of God. So he had these determinations, I'm going to conquer though I die. You know, I doubt that he was being a hypocrite when he wrote that song. Probably at that time he was walking very close to God. Had a determination, I'm going to make heaven my home. By the living grace of God, I will labor on till my work on earth is done. But the devil had a plan, and he cut off the flow of the grace of God. the divine power that God would have given D.O. Teasley to be able to be successful with the song that he wrote, with the testimony that he had. So I was thinking about, for us, I need a determination. But I also realized, you know what? His grace will take me through any battle that I have. But I'm going to have to keep the channel open for it to flow in, to give me the power that is needed. Because, you know, sometimes we will take even a problem that we're faced with and we try to work it out on our own. I try to figure out what's the best way to do it. Maybe we're dealing with other people. What's the best way for me to say this so that I will do it right, do it best? Sometimes it's kind of like if I had a rod and reel, had a fishing line, and that thing got tangled up, and you try to untangle it yourself. It's almost impossible to do. But you know what? There are some people that have been a testimony for us that, not like D.O. Teasley, that left us an example of what not to do. I would like to study his life more. I just recently, I've tried in the past, I would like to know what happened. And Cheryl was able to find a book just recently. I think maybe Brother Michael Smith had been talking about it. He was able to get some information from it that tells his story. You know what? He had a determination, going to make heaven my home. But the devil played a trick on him. And the grace of God that can help every one of us make it, somehow he closed off the channel that could come. I don't want that to happen with me. I was thinking about a man that did not allow it to happen in his life. Over in Genesis, this is the first place that I see, anyhow, that the word grace is used. And it was talking about Noah. Genesis in the 6th chapter and in the 5th verse. 6 and 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was in Noah's day. I wonder what he sees today in 2021. It says he repented the Lord that he made man on the earth and grieved him in his heart. He said, I'll destroy man. But that 8th verse, just a little small verse, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Divine influence available to help him start out on a project and have a determination, keep on day after day for over 100 years building a boat at a time when it had never rained before. He said he was a preacher of righteousness. So he didn't just build on the boat without talking. He was letting them know during that time, the reason I'm building this boat, God's going to send a flood. He's going to destroy all that. You know how hard it would be for people around him to believe that? You know really how hard it would be for Noah to keep that fresh in his thoughts for over 100 years. Continue building by the plan that God gave. I'm going to have to make it this dimension. I'm going to have to use this material. And I believe God, says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You ever started a project, have a determination? Maybe the first of the year, there's a lot of people, they say, that sign up for these fitness centers on the first day of the year. Start out with a plan, got a plan to be able to be successful physically. Maybe get a treadmill and start out walking on that thing, going to see how many miles I can do this year. You know how easy it is after about a week that it just sits over there and starts collecting dust. It's just the way it is with humans. But we don't want that to be the way it is with our spiritual life. I have a determination. Start out good, but don't finish the race. It won't be because the grace of God was not there. It's because I can allow something to cause it to be clogged up to where it doesn't come into me. I'd like to look at another verse. Remember what we read at the beginning, grace of God that bringeth salvation. How did it do that? In the book of John in the 1st chapter, John 1 and 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It says Jesus made available for us the plan of salvation when he died and he rose again. Amen. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I think about what he's doing today. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter, because he is still working for us today, 7 and 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Grace came by Jesus Christ, and today he's making intercession for us. And I have a picture in my mind of Stephen being stoned. And he saw the heavens open up, and he saw Jesus standing there. I believe he's interested in the things that we go through today. And I believe he's got grace available for us. The times that we're dealing with other people, the times that we are being wronged, things are not going the way we wanted them to go, that he has grace available for me. All his grace, it's just as free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply, but we must obey and his word believe, and he'll prepare us to live on high. So here's some of my part, so that I don't stop that flow of grace into my life. In 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. To keep this ability for grace to flow into my life, I'm going to have to be clothed with humility. Because this verse says, God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. I am thankful for that. There's another verse in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Because sometimes we can, in no place will we find a place where we can earn salvation. And this one tells us in Ephesians 2 and 6, starting at 6 and 7, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now that's something. Not just, okay, I've got a little bit of grace, I'm going to spread it out for everybody. But instead, he would like to show us the exceeding greatness of his grace, riches of his grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. But now it lets us know, you know what, we have a part to play, but our part will not buy us salvation. We need to always remember this verse right here. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Grace that he is willing to give us, he has available for us. It's a gift. It's not something that I can say I deserve it. I have done something. I've met some conditions, and now he owes it to me. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that I can do to be able to buy salvation. But at the same time, it says it's not of works, lest any should boast. So I've heard some people say, you know what, God's not really interested in our works. He says it's not of works. But then look at the next verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, you know, once we're saved, the good works will follow. The good works won't save us, but they also will follow. In Titus, again, in the third chapter, Titus 3:3. Here is who we once were. It says, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, and here again it's telling us, it didn't happen by works of righteousness which we have done, but it was according to His mercy that He saved us. I am thankful for that. May we never believe there's something we can do to purchase it, but instead it's His love, His mercy toward us. Paul had a testimony in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Here's his view of himself. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But here's what made him who he was. By the grace of God, I am what I am. To have changed from who he was when he was on the road to Damascus to who he was when he wrote this letter. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. So the power that God gave him to be able to live the life was not in vain. Paul put it to use in his life. I labored more abundantly than they all. Is he bragging there? He continued on and said, yet not I. It was the grace of God which was with me. We need to be able to have that testimony. It was God's grace that has helped me out. God's grace came to Paul at another time. Paul had a need, and every one of us will have some needs in our life. And the thing to do, what a friend we have in Jesus, we can take it to him in prayer. And that's what Paul did in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He had a thorn. He had something wrong, a thorn in the flesh. And he sought the Lord, 8th verse. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And what was the answer that the Lord gave him back? I've got grace sufficient for you. So did not take away the problem that he was faced with, but gave him grace to be able to accept it. And you know, Paul's got to make a decision there. Will God's grace be in vain? Will it cause bitterness to come into Paul's life? Instead, what he said is, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's Paul's decision. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. I take pleasure in infirmities. You know, it could have been different. He could have had a root of bitterness get started and Paul's life in like D.O. Teasley's gone. But instead, he said, none of these things move me. All the things that happened in his life. So there is a verse in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and in the 7th verse. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, you know, we think about that, okay, Sunday morning when it's time to give. But you know what? We can give of our time to others. We can give really of our time to study, to draw close to the Lord. And then it says, and God is able to make, 8th verse, all grace abound towards you. Now that would be a great thing to have in 2021. Grace abounding toward me. God's divine influence in my life. His divine power to help me in the things that I face. That ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able to make grace abound for us. Yeah. I'm thankful for that. There's another one in 2 Peter. It tells about some things to put in our life that we need to put in. 2 Peter 1 and 7. It says, "And to godliness add brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you'd neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's some things that we can put in our life that causes God's divine favor to be on us. So do we get all the grace we need when we're saved? He gives us what we need. I was looking at another verse there in 2 Peter, the third chapter. You know, the third chapter gives us warning that the end of time is coming. It's going to happen. But then it's in the very last verse of the third chapter of 2 Peter, the 18th verse, tells us something. "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace. After I've seen all these things, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." All these things that he tells us is going to happen. And he tells us, I'll tell you what, it's going to be really valuable that you grow in grace. I've got some grace that God puts in my life, but I'd like to have some room for some more to come in. I saw this in the commentary. "Increase in the image and favor of God. Every grace and divine influence, it's a seed. It's a heavenly seed. If it be watered with the dew from heaven from above, it will endlessly increase and multiply itself." Not just, okay, I got just a little bit of grace, I hope it'll take me through, but can have an abundance of grace. So I'd like to look at another verse. This is in Hebrews. And this is what's available for all of us. In Hebrews 4 and 16. You know, have you ever gone through something and said, you know, I did not have the grace I needed for that? This verse in the 16th verse, 4th chapter, Hebrews. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What does that mean, to come boldly to the throne of grace? Lord, you owe it to me. Give me some more grace. No, Lord, I won't be able to make it if you don't help me. I can't make it on my own, and I'm coming back to the source. I need some more grace from you. That boldly just means he would love for us to come back to get more again. We don't have to be shy about it. It's not like the verse when the one man went up to pray, and it said, "The ones that trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others." I don't believe that's the ones that can come boldly to the throne of grace. But you remember the ones that it says, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's the ones that he will supply the grace for. Be clothed with humility. That I would have that in my life, realizing, you know what? Remember Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But Paul said, through Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God's got that grace available for us. Grace is not given because of who we are, but for who God is. So I'd like to close with one more song. Grace is amazing. It's available. It's just as powerful today as it was way back there. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But that's not the first time there was grace. There was grace available to help Noah to build that ark for 100 years and be faithful at it and not give it up. There's a song that in closing I'd like for us to sing. Number 510, Amazing Grace. You know, as we take a look at grace, and I think as we leave from here, take a look at scriptures that tell about the grace of God. It's available to meet any need that we have. I just need to meet the condition. I need to have it to where the flow is not stopped by myself. One of those is that I realize how much I need the Lord's help. Humility is very important. This one says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It wasn't something that I did. It was grace that taught it. And grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come." So can we look at that and say, I tell you what, I've about got it figured out now. I can make it. No, he closed ahead on with the rest of this verse. It was grace that has brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead me home. Then it says, when we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So with D.O. Teasley, when he wrote the song, I believe he had conviction. When he said, by the living grace of God, I'm going to make heaven my home. But he kept living some days. And temptations came to him, and he fell. And the testimony was he was lost at the end. Doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't that the grace wasn't available. It was that he caused something to clog up the source that could feed it to him. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I want it to be applied in my life.